Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. It is my pleasure to welcome into studio Elma Reynolds. She is the director of Joy Junction, which is the largest homeless ministry in Albuquerque. And your husband, Jeremy, was a friend of all of ours here. And so we miss him dearly, as I know you do. But you have carried the torch for Joy Junction. Elma, welcome.
Yes, I do. And thank you so much for having me here today. It's been a while I've been in this room, and I'm really, really excited to be here.
Well, I want you to start. A lot of our listeners are familiar with Joy Junction. Of course, Jeremy was on the radio pretty regularly during ABQ Connect with Peter Benson. They know a lot about you've been on the radio with us, so they probably know a little bit about Joy Junction. But we want to reintroduce Joy Junction because the work that you're doing is really amazing. Tell us about the ministry and your mission.
Well, Joy Junction is one of the biggest homeless shelters in the state of New Mexico. And actually, we are now going to celebrate our 35 years in helping the homeless. So just imagine for 35 years, and there's no one day that we close our door. So ever since Joy Junction started in 1986 up to now, we are open 24/7. We are helping homeless population in our community. And our mission is the same, is to provide shelter, food, and recovery tools, and the love and encouragement of Jesus Christ to homeless, hungry, and distraught families in our community.
Alma, one of the things that I know that was on Jeremy's heart is that if somebody just need a temporary place to stay, he opened the doors. If they needed a more permanent, longer-term situation, they were welcome to stay. And is it still the same way?
Yes, the same. We don't, you know, we don't set a limit of time that they're going to stay. As long as they needed a place to stay, they can, as long as also they follow the rules and regulation at the shelter.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always tell them, even if they found a job, hey, don't move out right away. Save some money. Set aside some money. So when you have some savings set aside and you move out, at least, you know, you're not like trying to live your life outside like from paycheck to paycheck. So we really encourage them, don't rush. Take your time and be ready.
We were visiting a little bit before we started today, and you were talking about you're dealing with each person individually, and they don't have to be Christians. They don't have to have any faith orientation, regardless of race, creed, whatever. You're going to take care of people,
yes,
which I think is an amazing thing. But each individual has something different. It's a lot of mental health issues, substance abuse. So you really do take the time to get to know everybody that's at Joy Junction.
Yeah, we work with them individually. You know, not everyone, you know, we don't have a program or a solution that fit for all. So we have our case manager that, you know, talk to them and evaluate what they need. And from there, you know, we work with them step by step and help and be available for them whatever they need.
I know in the last 3 to 5 years, you've made a lot of improvements to your facility. Tell us about some of those improvements.
Oh, a lot. I can remember when I arrived at Joy Junction. So everything is old. Imagine it's more than 3 decades and nothing has changed. Nothing was updated. So after 3 decades, it was in 2017 when we started construction. Now we have this big apartment complex. It has 45 rooms, which really can accommodate families, couples, and single individuals. So, and with their own bathroom. So literally, we are now having the multi empty in the evening. So everyone have their own beds and, you know, in their room. And also we have this 2 barracks that we renovate into an open space. So we put that as 1 barracks for single men and one barracks for single women. And each barrack can hold 33 beds, single beds. So we are now more of like having some more organized sit-up, not like before, like 120 people sleeping at the multi on the blow mattress on the floor. Mm. And aside from that, if you remember before that, you know, when you enter at the shelter, we have this long pathway that really on dirt. Now that is a concrete road, which is actually, if you Google, it's Joy Junction Road. And we have our concrete parking lot and many more that we need to update this year. And also we get rid of the old brick building, which is it's a schoolhouse. And we're able to get rid of that last year with the help of some donors to pay for, you know, for the demolition.
Well, there were some issues with the building structurally.
Yeah, there is some asbestos, lead and asbestos. So it wasn't like just to get rid of it. They have to carefully, you know, I don't know what they do, but it was carefully done until they finish. So yeah. Now that part, that area is empty, and that's where our next big project to have our commercial kitchen and dining room, because we have a very tiny kitchen, but it's a miracle that we can produce 16,000 meals a month on that tiny kitchen.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I've had the food, and it's good food.
Yeah, we try. I mean, we have a kitchen manager, and we have cooks, and although we cook everything from our donation. And we try to make it like, you know, a homey food, a warm meals that really nourishes our guests and residents. Mm. So sometimes I have my lunch and dinner over there at the shelter.
Well, as people are listening, there's all kinds of opportunities to come alongside the ministry. And we're going to talk about, obviously, you need financial help. You need volunteers, maybe even some cooks, people like that. You might attract some contractors, because with the facility that you have, even though you have some new facilities, those need constant maintenance and things to keep them up. So I want people to think in terms of, as they're listening to you and they see how comprehensive your ministry is and how dedicated you've been. We're going to go all the way back to when Jeremy started it, which I happen to know a lot about, because mm-hmm. I was a business manager at Calvary Chapel when it first started. Mm-hmm. And of course now it's Calvary Church. Mm-hmm. But back in those days, we were working very closely with Jeremy when he was getting everything started and God was leading him, and just the dedication. And that's a good segue for me to go into. Alma, you just don't have a homeless shelter. You have a ministry. You are telling people about Jesus. And that was really the heart of Jeremy Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Tell us why you've continued that.
Well, you know, it's just, I think it's not a coincidence that me and Jeremy meet each other. Mm-hmm. And exactly, we have the same passion. We have the same vision, which in the beginning, I didn't really realize that. I just wanted to be a housewife and a wife that support him in the ministry. Nothing really bigger than that. I just want a simple life. But along the way, and I know that even before I met him, that's already my passion, to help people. And before I met Jeremy, there are many instances that God showed me something that now I see, and I realize that those things that God has shown me, already give me a hint of what's the life in the future for me. Mm-hmm. So when I came here and worked with Jeremy side by side, it's like the more, it's like that part of me that before I said, Lord, I know I'm contented with my work, and I know I'm contented with my life, but I know there's something inside of me. There's something that I didn't even know what is it. Like, there's something that you want me to do, but I don't know exactly what is it. And now that part was like filled up. Like, now I have that, you know, like I have that confirmation that this is it. And this is like, I'm really humble that I'm a part of this ministry.
Well, our listeners love romance. And you told me something that I thought was kind of fun, that you met Jeremy through eHarmony. I want to know how you met Jeremy and how you guys got together.
Well, I was, before I met Jeremy, it was, almost a year. No, not even a year. It's 10 months after I have my engagement, like, didn't work. I was engaged to my fellow believer. I mean, I thought like being a, being having engaged with a Christian also, like, I thought that's it. But it didn't work, and God has His own plan. So after that, I said, okay, I just want to grow old being single. But Lord, I know, like, I don't want to waste my life, like, you know, maybe you have somebody for me in store for me. So, okay, so what I did is, I was on my laptop and all these, you know, websites popping up, and the last one was eHarmony. And so I just take advantage of the 3 days trial period. Of course, I don't want to subscribe. So 3 days trial period. And that if it's difficult to date on personal, the more it's difficult to date somebody on the internet. Uh-huh. You don't know that person. I said, Lord, that's it. I'm done. Only the last group of names that will come. Okay, I will try to do, and I will try to look on it. And Jeremy was there. But he's looking for somebody that have a journalism background. So I said, okay, it's not me. But what really strike me is what he's doing, the ministry. So I said, okay, it's not me. Then I really want to know how he started the ministry from nothing to how it is now. So we able to connect at under eHarmony, because I still have my time before the 3 days trial period is over. And then after that, our conversation was hung up because it's over. We are out. Like, I'm not a subscriber, so I can't contact him. So what I did, I Googled his name, and I saw that he has an email, and I said, hey, I know that I'm not the one you're looking, but I really wanted to learn how you start the ministry, that maybe I could use that here when I go home to Philippines, because at that time I was in Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's how everything started. And that's it. After, we emailed for 3 months, and then after 3 months, we talk every day and we emailed every day at the same time. And then October of 2013, we met in person, because I was in Israel. I was working in Israel at the time. And that's how I said, Lord, everything is so fast. But one day when the second night when he was in Israel, so I go home, I have to bring him back to the hotel because he's the directionally challenged person. He don't know where to go. So after that, I go home and I said, I was walking on the promenade in Tel Aviv, going to the bus station. And I said, Lord, I don't really want to go to America just for the sake of the passport or citizenship or green card. No, that's not what my goal. I want to find somebody that I really will be able to grow old and be used for you, mm-hmm. for your glory. And is he the one? That's my question. Is he the one? And I know until now, sometimes it made me cry when I remember how God responded to me that night. Mm-hmm. I said, Elma, you and Jeremy can do a lot of things together, and I could use you in a way that you never imagined. That was God had told me, I mean, speak in my heart. That's why afterwards, when we went to Bethlehem and we met at the breakfast room at the hotel, and then suddenly he said, he popped up the question, would you mind to be engaged? And I know already the answer. I didn't think other thing. I just said, like, why not? So we went out of the hotel and looked for a shop, find for an engagement ring. There's nothing really romantic. We are not both like really romantic. We're uh-huh. just like very casual people, like, you know, not like want like, you know, to kneel down and hey. Sure. So that's how it start. And he went back to here in America, and the next year we start processing our key fiancé visa.
Well, and it's really that's a nice story. And I knew Jeremy before he met you. And I remember taking the church van, mm-hmm. and Jeremy would have us meet him at a location downtown in Albuquerque. And this would be in January at 5:30 at night. And mm-hmm. we would drive all through downtown, mm-hmm. and we would find people that were on the street that had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy would graciously get out of the van and invite them to come. And we would take them over to Joy Junction. And then, of course, the ministry expanded to where he had his own van and his own car.
Yeah.
And he would go out and just seeking people. And his gentle heart and his gentle spirit has continued. And that's an amazing thing that you've continued to just meet the needs of people. And I will say that it wasn't always a smooth road. Jeremy was assaulted
mm-hmm.
one time
mm-hmm.
by some people that I can't imagine anyone assaulting Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the nicest human being that I know ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just broke all of our hearts. But Jeremy didn't skip a beat. As soon as he got the bandages off and as soon as he had one of his teeth mm-hmm. knocked out. I mean, there was just things that he endured that I know he was in what God wanted him to do.
That's true.
Because otherwise he would have been dissuaded, and he was never dissuaded. He was always focused on caring for and loving people they needed a hand up. That's something that's evident on your website. Not a hand out, but a hand up. And he was there to provide that.
And I think even before we make a commitment, he makes sure that where I stand, mm-hmm. especially in the ministry. So I said, whatever it takes for me to do for us to glorify God in our lives, I will do that. So, but you know, sometimes expectation based reality is totally different. So it was so different when I come here. But from that on, like when I saw him, he's happy when I'm with him, you know, working all together. Then I said, look, I should change. I mean, instead that I will be just wanted to be behind the scene because I'm not a very sociable person. Mm. I told him that I'm not a sociable person. I'm just like homebody type person. So that time I said like, yeah, I'm the one needed to change, you know, because I make a commitment to be a partner, not just a wife, but a partner in the ministry.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you've gone from not being a very social person to now taking care of over 200 people. So I see how God's worked that
mm-hmm,
out.
That's true.
Alma Reynolds is the director of Joy Junction. They're a 501c3 faith-based church ministry that offers emergency and short-term essentials like food, clothing, counseling, transportation, shelter to homeless men, women, and children and families throughout Albuquerque. Their guests also receive an array of other services for their spiritual and emotional needs. And they're, again, I want to reiterate, they're given a hand up, not a hand out to help them get back on their feet. Alma's going to be with us another 15 minutes through the 1:30, through the half hour. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Gloria and Stephen Bonner chose Holly Slade with Dave Slade and Associates to sell their home. Here's what they had to say about their experience.
I became aware of Holly through the advertisements that were on KNKT, so I knew I had to investigate that and see about the expertise that she had. The first thing, she came over our house and began to identify practical ways for us to stage the house for the best return on our money. It was on the market parts of 3 days. Actually, one day it was done.
She had done her homework and she had the comps ready for us. She just really knew what she was doing. She recognized that we felt like our home was a gift from God and that it was special to us. And she wanted to make sure that the right people got the home and saw it in the same way that we did.
Contact Holly at 342-8100 or abqhomeseeker.com. Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you're shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Elma Reynolds, the director of Joy Junction, is in studio with me. Had a lot of fun so far, Elma. I know you're doing a lot to help a lot of people, and I have to laugh. I mean, you call yourself not a sociable person, but you're in the middle of a lot of people. We've got to talk now about how our listeners can help your ministry.
Okay.
I know that you need finances. I need you do volunteers. You can make donations to the thrift store. Tell us all about the ways we can help.
Well, of course, first of all, we take monetary donation. We are not we don't accept any federal, state, and city funding by choice, and so monetary donation is a big part of our needs at the shelter. And also, we take any in-kind donation. Like, let's say, you know, you need to change your couch. As long as the couch is nothing really tear or stain or nothing needed to fix, because we don't have anybody to fix it. So you can donate it to us. And, you know, if it's like something like you have more than mean, like a lot of things that you can't even transport to the Second Street, you know, you can call our donation pickup and make a schedule. And aside from that, you know, slightly used clothing, anything that you have in the house that you think you can still use, but just you don't want them anymore, you want to buy a new one, then we can use them or sell them at our thrift store. That all the proceeds from the thrift store will go back to Joy Junction. And then food donation, anything from canned goods, any non-perishable foods, or you can order at Sam's Club and deliver it to us. Like, or if it's like meat, it has to be a USDA approved. And those are like, you know, things that you can give to us. So, but you know, just be careful with food that they're not the date of the expiration. It is okay, and. You know?
Well, I'm just going to offer a challenge to our listeners. If you want to provide some roasts, or maybe you want to go buy some turkeys, mm-hmm. you know, go buy them and deliver them immediately.
Well, as long as they are delivered in a proper container, mm-hmm. That would be okay. Like, you know, we can use it like for dinner, or you know, or contact at the shelter that, hey, I want to donate a roast beef for dinner. So, you know. How are we going to do that?
Yeah. Alma, let's give an example. Joy Junction was one of the first homeless ministries, if not the first, to actually provide care for entire families.
That's true.
And I want to know what happens to a family. Let's say it's a family of four, mom and dad. They're just trying to get back on their feet. They've got a couple of kids. The kids are not currently in school because they may be trying to find a place, mm-hmm. going from city to city. What happens when you find out or they find out about you, and how can you help them?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what the size of the family. We take them in, and once they arrive at the shelter, we will take all the information, intake form about the kids and all of the all in the family, and then we will find a space in the property. Let's say we have a room that can accommodate with six kids. We want them to be together because this is the lowest point in their life. So, you know, just imagine if the dad will be separated from the kids and the mom. So that's one of our very, very important things for us, that the whole family will stick together. And then from then on, one of the family, head of the family, has to check in with our case manager. Hey, this is like how we can help you. And the case manager will assist if they are going to find a housing or find a job, but they don't have all those documents that they needed. They need an ID, is in. So our case manager is like helping them step by step until they're able to get all the requirements that they need. So it really depends on the family. Some like especially when you have kids also that they're not yet in school because, you know, they're unstable where they are going to, where they're going to stay. So once they arrive at Choi Junction, one of the requirements, if you have kids that are in school, they have to go to school. So they, we have a school nearby of that shelter that, you know, the bus will come to us. So they have, that's one of the requirements that they need to go to school. We take care of whatever they need, anything that, you know, they need, clothing from school supply, anything that they need, we have to find a way to provide it for them.
And again, you're providing these services to them for free because they don't have a way to pay.
Yes, everything is free.
But I always emphasize to our listeners, and they know this, but I like to remind them that it's free to your clients, it's free to the people you're helping, but it's actually not free. You have to keep the ministry floating, you
That's
have to
right.
pay salaries, and you have some very loyal, mm-hmm. devoted people that mm-hmm. are employees.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the money is being so well spent. It's all on taking care of people. And your facility's been upgraded a little bit. The maintenance on the facility needs to continue. So, again, I hope that our listeners will come alongside you. Your ministry's been in Albuquerque since when?
1986.
Wow, that makes me
July,
old.
August 1986.
Well, and again, I remember, you know, Jeremy identified that property. And as you said, it was, you know, some buildings falling down, and, mm-hmm. and it was really kind of the lunchroom and some other things were the most prominent buildings. And Jeremy would just go out and find people that needed help. And I've always been so impressed with that heart. A lot of people will, you know, serve in ministry, but they won't serve in a capacity where you have to be in such difficult situations. Mm-hmm. So, wow, I mean, I know that's a God thing. And it's such a blessing that you've made yourself available and that you're continuing and expanding the ministry. It is really expanding. Give us a list, if you will, of all the services that you provide, because it's pretty comprehensive.
Okay. So we have several programs. We have, you know, like it's important to us that when a homeless person come to us, it's not just like we are providing a roof over their head and warm meals three times a day. But the most important thing is at this stage of their life, we are able to reconnect them to have a relationship with God. Because that's the only thing that keeps you through to know that there is hope. There is hope even in this kind of situation that they are in now. There is hope. And you can find that hope only through Jesus Christ. So that's one of the important things. That's why we have this Christ Empower program. It's a 9-month life recovery program. It's an AA version of Jesus. It's the Jesus version of AA.
Uh-huh.
And every day from Monday to Friday, they have to attend classes. And they have to volunteer 30 hours a week. And after completed the whole requirements for every week, we given them a gift check of $25. So it's like to give them the feeling like, yeah, they were rewarded of what they do. So it motivates them. And then afterwards, after they finish the program, we do a graduation. Like, they're really literally wearing a UNM red gown. And we have the hub, that is, like, you know, when someone come to us, they don't want to be in the program. So what we can do to help them? We have BOST program, which those are having a medical issue, a mobility issue. So we able to, you know, not just like sitting there and eat and sleep. So especially they have to move. So we give them some like 3 hours a day of volunteer works to help around the shelter. And we have the transition program, which, you know, someone come and then they just find a job, but they can't afford to pay an apartment. So we take them while they are working. They stay with us and, you know, have them save some money until they are ready to move out. So even those who are graduated from the program, we walk through also with them until they find a job or when they are ready to move out. So, you know, it's up to them. As long as we always encourage them, take advantage of the services that we provided. It's free.
Alma, how do people contact you about the ministry and your services?
Okay, so I don't really memorize all the numbers. We have several numbers.
I've got the shelter phone.
Okay, here. The 800 number.
I've got, just the local number I have is 877-6967.
Mm-hmm.
And then your website is joyjunction.org.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Easy to give, secure ways to make donations. Gives your address down on Second Street of the shelter. I know you've got a new location of your thrift store.
Yes, we have at Minol, 4012 Minol Boulevard. So it's just like it's east side of Carlisle. So we have our new thrift store over there. We move out from Second Street to Minol.
Well, I'm sure you get more traffic over there.
We pick up many new customers.
Now, at one time you had some parking lots downtown where people were allowing any money that you spent to park to be donated to Joy Junction. You have any of that going
still? The parking lot, we give it back to the owner starting this year because during the whole year, last year, there's nothing going on. And, we are paying for stuff.
Sure.
And so I think, we ask the Lord, even during last year, what we need to do. But I think it's very clear that, I think it's time to...
Well, I'm bringing that up because there may be somebody that has a situation like that might be willing to donate to you again.
Well, hopefully,
Yeah, so, there's all kinds of ways to come alongside the ministry, take care of all people that are in a situation of homelessness. You also mentioned on your website that you have some partnerships and some cooperative efforts with other people like Steelbridge.
Yeah.
And some of the other ministries in town.
Yeah, we are connected with different service provider around the city, like the Albuquerque Homeless, I forgot the name of this place, but there are for example, the medical needs of our residents, dental, anything. So healthcare for the homeless. There's another one in that area. So even Suriname, we are connected with Suriname. So if we have family couple that willing to want to join the program, so we are sending our residents to different kind of organization that they can find what they need to move on with their lives. So.
Well, there's everything you're doing is extra special. I know our listeners are going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying. I'm so thankful for the ministry and all the work that's been done. We've gotten through our half an hour, and we still have five or six other questions to talk about. That's just, again, my excuse to have you back on the show. We'll try to get you on middle of next month and make sure people get more and more familiar. And I'm just one of those guys. I guess I'm an old romantic. I got to ask you more about Jeremy and your relationship just because it's kind of fun.
I think I really wanted – I'm very open with the story of me and Jeremy because – just the way we meet and know each other is not like kind of a normal thing. So the way our road crossed together, it's like God really put us together.
Yeah.
So halfway across the world, I was in Israel and he was here. And I said, and my prayer at that time when I do that, I said, Lord, I don't really want to marry a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor's wife. Although Jeremy is not like the typical pastor of a typical church, but it's still in the ministry. But, be careful of what you pray for because God will answer your prayer and he will give you more.
Amen. Elmer Reynolds, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you being here.